Right. So we're still on 1 Peter. I need to get out of 1 Peter because it keeps talking about suffering. And the more I keep teaching that, the more I think we're in the middle of all of it. Mm-hmm. And so 1 Peter, Lesson 7, Chapter 3, we're going to go 8 through 18. And so for a real quick review, the theme is how to live for Christ through suffering in 1 Peter. You're going to probably call me and go, get out of this book, like I said. Chapter 1, the trial of your faith being more precious than gold. Chapter 2, the Christian is to follow Christ in his sufferings. In chapter 3, which we're still on, is the Christian is to suffer for righteousness' sake. So sometimes we're going to be suffering for doing what's right. And you're like, no, wait a minute. How can that be right? How can I do what the Lord wants me to do? How can I be, doing that and I'm still suffering? That can't be right. And I'm like, well, just look at Christ. How much did he suffer for us? And I mean, he didn't have to. You know, he could have just said, you know what, it's not worth, these people aren't worth this. I don't have to go through all this because, my goodness. He started, I'm reading in the Old Testament of Moses and all the people, you know, going through the wilderness. And it's like, my gosh, I didn't want to kill those people myself of all the stuff you see, you read that they're doing. I mean, it's just time after time after time. They keep doing what's wrong. They keep doing what's wrong. They keep doing what's wrong. They go, no, we'll do what's right, God. Whatever you say, we'll do it. And the next thing you know, they don't do it. And so if the Lord, you know, was probably like us, he would have whacked us a long time ago. But he's long-suffering. He loves us. So we need to be more like that. So chapter 3, 1 through 6. 2 weeks ago, we talked about wives. Last week, we talked about husbands. And who was it that told me again, reminded me, who was it here last week? Oh, it was Paula, Mark. She told me. It was Mark.
Mark wasn't
here. You wasn't here, and you wasn't here last week, were you?
I was here in spirit.
Okay. We were here.
Passaic. Okay. So we did talk about husbands last week. So you'll have to go back and get the tape. Okay. Or go back and read it. Today we're just going to add to that. And so 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8 says, finally, you know, after they get done with the husbands, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So we got another long list going here. Okay. And so it seems like the last 6 months of my life, that's all I've done. It's been going through lists in the Bible. But here we are. It says, be pitiful, be courteous, verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing, than for evil doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. So I think I went a little farther than I needed to. Really, we're going to look at verse 8 through 18. We're going to look at this long list that we got here. And basically, Peter says here, finally. Okay, so finally, basically, I think it's because he's gotten done with dealing with the wives and getting done with the husbands. And then he throws everybody together here and goes, okay, so finally, let me just see if I can wrap this up for you. And so, basically, this list is for every Christian in this room. It's for all of us. He goes, number one, he says, be unified. Okay, so that's a no-brainer. Be unified. Have compassion. Okay. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Now, I had to stop and think about that. So, really, what does that mean? Can anybody tell me? Be pitiful.
I only hit 12 targets yesterday.
That was pitiful?
That's pitiful.
Yeah. Oh, hey, you'll do better. You know, you'll do better. You'll catch up to Mark and I before long. Won't take long, but you will. Okay. Just one more practice. What's that?
The two of you combined.
The two of us combined?
Brother got more than I got.
That's what I'm saying. You have to combine your two to catch up.
Me and Mark kind of work as a buddy system.
Yeah.
Are you? Okay. All right. So, be pitiful means be tender-hearted. I know we don't use that word the same way. We kind of use it how Roger used it, like, you know, that was not so good. Okay. Could have been better. But no, be pitiful. We need to be tender-hearted to people. Let's look over at James 5:11. Just book over to the left. James 5:11 says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, and that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So again, kind of defines that a little better. Being pitiful in the Bible basically is being tender-hearted. And so I don't know. Yes, Roger.
You could throw Ephesians 4:32 in there.
Okay, read that to us.
And be kind one to another, tender-hearted.
Yep, there you go.
Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Okay. And so there again is, you know, our English language and our Bibles really defines these words out. And they probably do a lot better definition in the Bible than what we use on an everyday basis. So, yes, yeah, so we need to be tender-hearted towards people. You know, I don't think people are tender-hearted today. They'd rather, you know, spit in your face than be tender-hearted.
Everybody's waiting to be offended.
They are. You know, we all have rights.
Justify their man.
You know. We've got to realize that. You know, we've got this mentality. Well, we've got rights. You can't treat me like that. How dare you do this? And we use it on everybody. We use it on our spouse. We use it on our kids. We use it on the next door neighbor. We use it on everybody we see. And we need to realize, hey, I really belong to the Lord. I don't have any rights. And yet, even though we don't want people to, you know, people shouldn't walk all over us. But most of the time, if we just have some compassion and are tender-hearted on people, it's just going to help the situation out. Okay? And so be pitiful, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil. Oh my, you know, that's what happens, you know? It's like, well, that guy cut me off, so I'm going to cut him off. Well, that guy, now the next step is you got road rage going on. And I'm like, over what?
Paula's really bad about that.
Is she? It's like...
You know he's saying that because it's the office.
Is that the way it is? Hey,
I have to say, no, really, my new comment is, your pride is worth more than my life.
Yeah. So what? Let him, you know, the guy that, you know, I think there's that new ad on, I don't know if it's on TV or what's like, I don't watch much TV, but there's a new ad on something that the guy goes, you know, that car drives by you 90 miles an hour, where do you usually see him at? The next stoplight. And this guy goes, and I always look over, I'm like, do you see where I am now? And I'm like, yeah, that's me, I do that. It's like, you know, and Carrie's attitude's like, well, let the dude fly past you doing whatever, and we catch him at the next stop. Not only do we catch him at the next stoplight, he trips that stoplight, by the time we get there, now it's going green again, so it just helps us to keep moving on.
He's just your radar.
That's right.
Yeah.
That too. How many of you have done that? You know, you're flying down the highway here and some guy comes by about 85 and you go, yeah, let him pass. I want him in front of me. But, okay. So we need to be courteous. We need to not render evil for evil. We not railing for railing. So what does railing mean? We don't use that much term.
Verbal.
Injurious speaking. Okay? Injurious speaking. What are we saying? Be a blessing to people. Love life. That's one I think we need to work on. You know, a lot of us are kind of like, we all have this Eeyore mentality. You know who I'm talking about, right? If you know who I'm talking about, raise your hand. I want to see who's paying attention. Okay, so we all know this. Okay. And we told our daughter, we have a lot of Winnie the Pooh tapes. Do you have a VHS player? No, we don't have one of those. I said, well, go get one because we'll give you the tapes. And you get sick of watching the stuff you're watching now, we'll give you some different stuff so you can get sick on. And in fact, I think the Winnie the Pooh tapes are better than the stuff I saw yesterday. If I had to watch the stuff they were doing yesterday, I'd probably blow my brains out myself. But, yeah, we have that mentality. Oh, it's, you know, everything's bummer. Life's a bummer. Everything's a bummer. I'm like, come on, think about, you know, we need to realize that, you know, we need to see good. We need to have a good outlook instead of always, you know, a poor me outlook. Okay. Love life. We need to see good in days. We need to see the good of the days that we have. Refrain your tongue from evil. Okay, that's pretty easy. Speak no guile. Okay, there's another one. So what does guile mean? It means deceit. Don't be deceitful with what you say. So in fact, we saw that in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Go back to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. My goodness, it's like 1 Peter's nothing but list and things what not to do or what to do. So it says, speak no guile, no deceit. Okay. Eschew evil. So again, I'll pick on my wife. What does that mean? She's the dictionary. Eschew. Anybody tell me what eschew means?
Run away from.
Turn from. And so, hold your finger here and go back to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Job, now you want to see somebody in the Bible you want to kind of be like? Job's one of these guys. It's pretty well got his act together. So Job chapter 1 verse 1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Turned from, rejected it. Okay? And then go down to verse 8. Same chapter. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Again, he turns from evil. Okay? Go over to chapter 2, verse 3. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause." That's quite a guy. So, I mean, here he's starting to get... the heat's turning up on him, and yet he still worships the Lord. He still, here's what's amazing, he holds on to his tongue. Man, if that was probably some of it, if it was me, I'd probably be jumping all over the place. But we need to turn from evil. So that's our back on our list. 14, do good, speak peace, and sue peace. Basically just means to pursue it. And so, back in 1 Peter. So why do all this? Why do this list? Okay, so you're asking good questions today. And I'll give you three reasons here. Kind of like Lucy gave Linus in one of the specials. In one of the specials, and I can't remember which one it is, Lucy tells Linus to do something. And he says, "Will you give me three good reasons why I should do that?" And she goes, "I'll give you three reasons. One, two, three." And Linus goes, "Those are good reasons." Anybody remember that? What special is that? Okay, I'm going to have to go back and watch Peanuts again now. But that's going to bug me. But three good reasons. Why should we do all these things? Why should we do these lists? Why should we look in the good of things? Why should we do things, run away from evil? Why should we hold on to our mouth and not blurt out things that we wish we wouldn't have said later on? And there's three reasons here in 1 Peter chapter 3. And let me see where I can get where they are. Hang with me for just a minute. Verse 12. Okay. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous." There's one. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Righteous goes in your blank. I think that's your first blank today. The Lord sees it, and he sees it when we, our actions all the time. And so the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. And then it says, "And his ears are open unto their prayers." Okay, there are some times when you kind of wonder, Lord, are you listening? Are you hearing my prayers? And over in the Bible it says, yeah, he's listening to our prayers. So his eyes are on us, and his ears are over our prayers. Goes in your blank. And number three, "But the face of the Lord is against all those who do evil." Now here's the sad part. The face of the Lord is against all those who are... it doesn't say those who are not Christians. It says all those who do evil. And so when us as a child of God, can we do evil? Of course we can. And then here you got our own Heavenly Father. It's like, well, man, I'm right there with you, Bob, right there. But when you do evil, when you do something wrong, that's where I'm going to have to draw the line, and I'm going to have to take care of you. Okay? And so that's why we need to do this list. That's why we need to watch what we say, what we do. That's why all this list that we had, of being courteous, of not rendering evil for evil, of being a blessing to people, of seeing good in days, of speaking no God, all that list. Because the eyes of the Lord are over us, His ears are over our prayers, and He will be against us if we do that evil. So, there's a question here in the chapter 3. It says, let me get back to where I'm at. It says, but the face of the Lord is against all them that do evil. And who is he, verse 13, that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? So in other words, it's almost implying that, man, if you do what's right all the time, nobody's going to harm you. But we know that's not right, do we? Because let me tell you, yeah, there is a group that's going to harm us, or try to harm us, and it's basically Satan's group. That's what I have in your handout. Satan's group would, the world would, and so we must be prepared. Lost people will react against you. But you know what? That's what lost people do. If you cut somebody off in traffic, the lost guy's going to probably cuss you out right there and cut you off. That's what lost people do. And sometimes even save people. But we can't be like that. Okay? We can't be like that. So, if or when we suffer for Christ's sake, we must, verse 14, number one, there's about five things here that I really want to point out. Number one, we need to be sober. Sober goes in your blank. We need to be in the right state of mind. In other words, we need to be in control. You know, the Bible over and over talks about being sober. We need to be sober. We need to know what's going on around us. We need to know what's happening. We need to be in control. Because when we get lax, and for instance, you know, if you're under a controlled substance, you're not sober, you're not in control of what's going on around you. But yet we need to be that way. Because we need to understand what is going on around our world so we can be a witness to Christ. So we need to be sober. We need to be ready. We need to be happy. We need to have a happy state of mind. We need to not be afraid nor to be troubled. Why? Because we need to be able to react to any situation in our life. Because why? We're a witness for Jesus. If we think about that all the time, I need to be ready 24/7 to be a witness for Jesus. So I can't allow things in my life. You know, some jerk cuts me off on the highway. So what? I need to be ready so I continue to be the witness that I need to be. Okay? So, we need to be sober. Number two, we need to have God in the right location in our life. What do I mean by that? I mean, I need to set Him apart. I need to be walking in the Spirit. I need to put God in charge of my life. I need to have Him at the top of my life. I need to have Him in the right location. You know, I think a lot of us are saved. A lot of us, we get times when we put ourselves up above Christ. And that's what we got to realize. I need to put Christ first. And me second or third or fourth or wherever I am. But I need to have God in the right location. I need to be walking in the Spirit. Number three, I need to be ready to tell others. I need to be ready to tell others about my Jesus. Jesus goes in the blank. In meekness and in fear. I need to have the words to say. That's why I like Brother Mike Van Horn. That guy, he has an answer for everybody. He wants to tell everybody about Jesus. I don't care. He's ready for whatever pops up. I'm not that quick. You know, I'm like 2 days later, I'm like, oh, I should have said that when this guy said this. I need to be ready. I need to be ready for whatever circumstance. Okay? Because I need to make it, just part of my life that, you know, when I get an opportunity to witness that I have something to say. Okay? And we all do. So I need to be ready to tell others about Jesus in meekness and in fear. Number four, having a good conscience about yourself. It's going to be really hard to be sober, to have God in the right location, to have the right words to say if I'm running around not doing the things that's on the list that we just talked about. I need to be living a clean life. I have to realize, who am I living for? You know, I know you guys are probably not like this, so I'll talk about myself. Sometimes I actually live like I'm living for me. Can you believe that? I actually am living like I'm living for... It's all about Bob. My wife will probably tell you that. It's all about Bob. No. I need to have this attitude. No, it's all about Christ. Okay? So I need to have that mentality all the time. So I've got to have a good conscience in order so I can be this testimony. I got to have a clean life on top of it too. Number five. And I need to remember that our Lord, how He suffered, how He was wrong, how He endured the cross to pay for our sins and to be an example for us when we go through trials and sufferings. That's what goes in your blank, trials and sufferings. And I need to be like Him as much as possible. So here's what I have a question for you. We've been all through the book of Peter, all through the Bible, that says that those that live godly shall suffer persecution. Now, did Jesus suffer? Yes or no?
Yes.
Was He wrongfully accused?
Yes.
Okay. Was He beaten?
Yes.
I mean, everything that you can think of. And yet, the Bible tells us that we're going to suffer like Christ. And so will be times in our life when we just got to take it on the chin, because our actions are what people are watching. Even though when we have every right, Christ had every right to come off that cross. Christ had every right to not do what He did. But He didn't. He did it for the people around. He did it for us. We're going to be in that same boat. There are going to be situations in our life. We won't be going to the cross for somebody, but there will be situations in our life that we need to just take it, because we need to be the witness, like Christ was the witness. Hopefully this is sinking in, because it's sinking in my life. Because our society is so me, me, me. And I don't think it's till you get later in life when you begin to realize, wow, there's been a lot of times I did not react the way I should have reacted. I should have just taken it and been the witness I need to be without, you know, puffing myself up and saying, well, I've got rights and, you know, I don't have to put up with this. Because that's what we want to do. So we can't do that. We've got to get through the sufferings. We've got to get through the trials, and we've got to just take it on the chin, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. We need to be like Christ so that the people around us hopefully will get the message. Okay. So our actions are it. They need to be our witness. You know, I work around a lot of guys in construction, and it's usually the guy in construction that comes out and tells you all the things he can do. Yeah, I can do tile work, I can do cement work, I can do hardwood floors, I can do ceilings, I can do roofing, I can do this, I can do that. And it's usually you learn, this guy talks a good talk, but not too many people can do all that. You usually kind of specialize in an area or two. And I heard this one guy tell this guy, he goes, yeah, and I'm going to go over and watch a plumber for a couple hours on Saturday, and then after I do that, I'll be able to plumb too.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, we, you know, it, we think we can do all this stuff, and it's like, no, we can't. But anyway, so God's going to allow us to go through some trials and sufferings in our life to show those people around us if we truly love Him. Okay? Even through the difficult times. So we need to be a witness for our Lord and Savior through the bad times as well as the good times, because He's totally worth it. And I know I'm talking to the choir in here, guys. You know, sometimes we need to forget our rights and just do what's right to help the situation. You know, I was thinking about that last night.